AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The FBI has just announced that they still do not have the person of interest in custody in yesterday's shooting death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk on the Utah Valley University campus. They have just shown a video of the person of interest making a getaway. Bo Mason, Utah's public safety commissioner, says they've collected possible evidence.
He left some palm impressions. There's some smudges, some places we're looking to collect DNA. There's a shoe imprint where we believe the suspect is clearly identified as wearing Converse tennis shoes.
The FBI has released more pictures of the person of interest and have appealed for the public's help in finding the Utah Valley University shooter. Young conservatives on college and university campuses nationwide are sounding off after Charlie Kirk's death. Ethan Zhu at the University of Texas Austin chapter.
Extra security is definitely needed, but it seems to me that even with extra security, events or tragedies like these will still happen.
President Trump paid tribute to Kirk at the 9/11 commemoration at the Pentagon today.
I'm pleased to announce that I will soon be awarding Charlie Kirk posthumously the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
The U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis says earlier, naval security and local police responded to reports of suspicious activity on the Naval Academy grounds. They say there is no active shooter threat. However, one person was injured while naval security forces were clearing a building. One person has been medevaced with injuries and they are stable. In suburban Denver, Colorado, authorities say they've identified the suspect in yesterday's shooting at Evergreen High School. He injured two students and then took his own life. Jefferson County Sheriff spokesperson Jackie Kelly says he was a 16-year-old student who had been radicalized through an extremist network.
We know that the suspect had a handgun. He had to keep reloading. He would fire and reload, fire and reload, fire and reload. This went on and on. And as he did that, he tried to find new targets.
Both student victims are still in the hospital. 24 years since the 9/11 attacks, Americans take part in observances. President Trump and the First Lady participated in a wreath-laying ceremony at the Pentagon in New York City. Families of the September 11th victims participated in the annual reading of the names at Ground Zero and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Bradshaw.
A ceremony was held at the Flight 93 Memorial, where the plane crashed after passengers stopped the hijackers. The FTC launches an inquiry into AI chatbots acting as companions and their effects on children. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers head for home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball.
The Brewers returning from their road trip to begin a three-game series tomorrow night against the Cardinals at American Family Field. The crew losing again 6-3. The Rangers' Jake Berger hit two home runs. Pat Murphy.
They got every big hit. You know, Berger was in AAA earlier in the season, and he hits two big homers. You know, we get 11 hits. We don't get the timely two-out hit.
NFL, the Packers host the Washington Commanders tonight, led by Dan Quinn, who was once the head coach of the Falcons, where Matt LaFleur was the quarterback's coach. LaFleur on his time there in Atlanta under Quinn.
It was invaluable to me. Like, I'm pretty certain I wouldn't be standing right here right now if it weren't for being with DQ for those 2 years in Atlanta. And just changed my whole mindset and how much fun you can have within the building, yet still get down to business. It was a great environment.
That's Matt LaFleur. I'll have a full recap later tonight after the game from Lambeau Field with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly to mostly cloudy in the overnight, some patchy fog forming, light winds and morning lows in the lower 50s. On Friday, fog in the morning will give way to a partly sunny sky, southeast winds, highs in the upper 70s, close to 80 degrees. It's 57 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday brings our week in review panel to, review the week.
as well as a review of the Packers' performance on a short week against Washington.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allbull Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who will be back before you know it. But we are here with you today. I got Sweet Cal B on the boards. And if you want to get in touch with us, give us a call. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Very, very packed show today at 9:35. Civic Media's host of Amicus, a law review, Jim Santel, will be here. He joins us every Thursday at 9:35 to break down all of the news coming out of the world of law. At 10:06, he's here a day early because he's got things to do in Madison tomorrow at Idea Fest. And you'll hear more about that in the coming days. And we've already had a couple of people from the fest up in Madison on the network. But Dan Schaefer, our political editor for Civic Media, is going to be here to recombobulate the news. And at 10:35, we're going to lighten things up a little bit because we need to. It's going to be heavy today. We got a lot of heavy news. And our audio sorbet, it's audio sorbet, of course. We're doing it today. And we want to know, when did you start talking like your parents? Do you remember when it happened? Or did it just happen and you didn't realize it? So when did you start talking like your parents? That's going to be audio sorbet. Get your stories ready. You can call them in, text them in. You can send them via email. janesays@civicmedia.us. But that's audio sorbet. When did you start talking like your parents? And then finally, this shouldn't be a thing. It's how we round out the show every single day here at Matt and Air on Air, 10:52. And today it is the Have a Drink on Me edition. So stick around. It's going to be a thoughtful show. We're going to be having a lot of discussions. And I wanted to open it up with someone who I dearly love and respect here at Civic Media. He's not only a coworker, but he's a friend. He is the host of the Todd Allbull Show, Monday through Fridays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Todd Allbull, thank you so much for joining me at the top of the show today.
Greg, Kelvin, appreciate the invite. And, difficult day news-wise, mm-hmm. but it's good to hang out, have real discussions and conversations with people that you equally admire.
Oh, thank you very much. And before we get into the topic that I think everyone knows we're going to get into, the horrible shooting in Utah yesterday, which claimed the life of right-wing podcaster Firebrand, however you want to talk about him, Charlie Kirk. It's September 11th, and we want to take a moment to remember and keep in our hearts those who were the victims of the attacks, the families, the friends of those who were part of the attacks. This marks 24 years since September 11th, 2011, or 2001, I'm sorry, when 2,977 people were killed in terrorist attacks at the New York's World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and a plane crash in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. As we're doing this show right now, President Trump is at a memorial service in New York City commemorating those who lost their lives, whether they were victims of the actual towers, the first responders, anyone who was involved. We are remembering them today fondly because they certainly gave their lives for this country, whether they knew it or not, whether they were in the buildings or they ran into the fires. They are remembered forever. They will never, ever be forgotten. So on that note, I invited Todd here today because he had the unnecessary honor, not honor, but the responsibility, I should say, the responsibility of breaking the news on civic media as far as what was going on with Charlie Kirk. And you always have an amazing way to put things like this into perspective, and you were the first person I thought of. So I just wanted to talk to you about it and say, you know, there's a lot going on. And at the heart of it, and I know it's not popular because if you're on social media and following the people that I follow, it's not popular. But the first thing I can only think of is that this was a person who was a father and a son and a friend. And I didn't agree with him at all. Most of the things he said, I disagreed with vehemently. I had a lot of problems with the things he said, but it did not warrant political violence.
Yeah, Greg, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I think this is healthy. You know, I think it's healthy to have thoughtful conversations at difficult times. Yeah. And that's partly what we're called upon to do, to lead those discussions. And I can only speak for myself. Yeah. You know, I'm not here because I have all the answers. And I really tried to, last night, take the advice of our own Luke Mathers and take the advice of Trygve Olson, a longtime political strategist out the Lincoln Project that comes on our show a lot. And I think our own Pat Kreitlow said the same thing. You know, none of us are obligated to live on social media. None of us are obligated to put out social posts at time like these. And I think that was really good advice. And so I think on a day like today, at least for myself, maybe a little less pontificating and a little more listening and a little more thoughtfulness goes a long way, because there's going to be time to pontificate. There's going to be time to have feelings out there. And I think the really important thing, at least, and this is, you know, and shout out to Luke Mathers and Dan Schaefer, our political editor, and Aaron Zommers, our fantastic producer, because, you know, I get the privilege and the honor of being behind the mic and being on the air, but it takes everybody in breaking news situations like that to bring it to our listeners. And I think it's really good to be based in fact. Mm-hmm. And one of the most disturbing things during yesterday and even now into this morning is so many folks out there are putting social media posts or opinions out there, and we don't even know who the shooter is yet. Mm-hmm. The two people that were detained and then let go have been cleared. And now the latest press conference this morning from Utah, I believe it was the FBI director or the regional man, said that these two individuals that were cleared have now been getting death threats of their own.
Yeah.
Because they're out. Yeah, he's like, stop it, knock it off. And so I would just, I get there's a lot of emotion right now, but I look at myself when I say this as well, take a step back, take a breath. Let's let the truth suss out a little bit and figure out exactly what we're dealing with before all of us just rush in with judgments about what the motive was, who did this, what's going on. And I think the important thing, at least for me today, I'm speaking only for myself, focus a little on the humanity and what I can personally do tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I first and foremost think that, you know, we are a media network and we live on the media, the social media. And to say, put the social media down for a moment, I'm hoping I don't get tagged by the management, but you know what I'm saying? Trying to bring it levity to any moment I can. But I had to do that too for two reasons. One, for what you just said, as far as just like, hey, I gotta, you know, I'm just going to watch Wednesday on Netflix. That's what I'm going to do right now. And that's literally what I did. I had to escape for a moment because, and also the amount of people who felt it was necessary or appropriate to post the video of the tragedy happening, I got tired of hitting the hide button on my social. So I just finally said, nope. And our friend Kristen Bry had some great posts on her social media platform about the fact that, and I will say it again, I am not canonizing this man. I'm not saying he is a saint. I will be very, very forthright in saying that the things he spoke about online, live, wherever, I don't know if there was a single point that I agreed with Charlie Kirk with. but we both work in media and we both are allowed the privilege of speaking our minds and speaking what we believe is truth, the power. And whether you like it or not, Charlie Kirk was speaking his truth. And that shouldn't come with such a consequence. And that makes me think about, what am I saying? Am I inflaming people? Am I angering people? Now, there's a point to which, Todd, I say, I have to speak my truth. I have to talk about this. I am a pro-democracy individual. I believe in America as a democracy. But that thought, followed by those events, are never far from my mind.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing up our friend and former colleague here at Civic, and she's at, as they say, another network now, Kristen Bry. She has her own social media as well. She writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And what I love, one of the many, many things I love about Kristen is that she's so open. Yeah. And she's like, this is who I am. I'm sharing my emotions because I think a lot of, or my thoughts, because I think a lot of other people are feeling the same way. And that's what she did on her socials yesterday. Yeah. And then immediately somebody in her feed said, oh, why are you crying tears for Charlie Kirk because he said so many terrible things? And she did another social post and said, look, it's not so much that my tears are for Charlie Kirk specifically, but it's for our country and this moment that we're in. And our society is kind of broken. I'm paraphrasing. Those weren't her exact words. And at the end, she said, dancing on his grave is not helpful to anyone. And no. She called that out.
Yeah.
And a conservative radio host who I just don't think is worth naming in Milwaukee and Madison, who it rhymes with Old McDonald, goes after her and his producer goes after her and they're calling her terrible, despicable things. And I just think, boy, if I were an advertiser over on that channel, mm-hmm. on that conservative radio network in Milwaukee and Madison, I'd pull my ads because, to your point, Greg, I didn't find anything that I agreed with Charlie Kirk. I found his language and his rhetoric dangerous. I think it targeted a lot of vulnerable people in our communities, but I certainly denounce and would never wish death upon him or anyone else. Mm-hmm. You know, violence is not the answer of this country. It's ballot box. That's where we have our quote unquote political fights, is at a ballot box. And you know, for other radio hosts on the conservative side to use this to attack someone who is just offering a human moment, mm-hmm. on this and twisting those words, that's despicable. And I think it's really, really sad.
I think I don't disagree with you. I put my social media down. So I saw some of the videos and I reached out to her and we talked for a moment. But I imagine her day was taken up by all of that then. And I think I like Old McDonald. I like that. That's what I'm going to refer to him as, Old McDonald. It's about the fact that we also live in a world where what she's feeling, I did see a lot of on social media, people who did not like him, who were upset, who were afraid, who were sick of it. We've been through this before over and not just, and really quick, I meant to say this up top too. And we've said this yesterday, you know, it should come as no surprise that Civic Media deplores and abhors and does not stand for political violence. It does not do anything to help the situation. That is not where we're at. That's not what we believe in. Personally, I was shocked. Professionally, I was shocked. As a company, we were shocked. But we do live in a place now where, and we'll talk about this a little bit more after we come back from our snack break, but we live in a place where people are forced to do commentary on this, whether they agree or disagree, because they need to get the clicks, the likes, the ad buys, the revenue. And unfortunately, people then look at those individuals and say, well, that's what they think, so that's what I should think. Instead of doing what Kristen and did publicly and I did privately, which is just trying to take a moment to think about how this connects us all as humans, regardless of what we do or think. How does it connect us as humans? And you're right. The answer is at the ballot box. The answer is the conversations. The answer is connecting and finding out what brings us together and what do we as members of community, a state, a country need to prosper. And that's where that's the action that has real value. So I'm going to keep this conversation going with Todd Alba. He is the host of the Todd Alba Show Monday through Fridays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. here on Civic Media. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Give us a call. Give us a text. Stay tuned. Stay close. Be right back. Yeah.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement. Well, that's civic media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation and will be back before you know it. I'm joined by Sweet Cal B, a.k.a. the Board Lord, Calvin on the ones and twos. We are here bringing you the show today, and I'm very, very grateful to have the guests that I do today that I have on the show. I have Todd Alba with me. We are continuing our conversation about the horrific tragedy in Utah, what happened claiming the life of Charlie Kirk. Talking about how to feel feelings and really being okay with feeling your feelings, because we live in a very big social media echo chamber and it's hard to maybe sometimes be honest. And if you want to be honest with us and call and text, and we do invite people to be positive and contribute to the commentary. I understand that Mr. Kirk did inflame a lot of opinions and did make a lot of people angry. Made me angry when I listened to a talk, but we're just trying to talk about how, as yet again, another horrific act of political violence has taken place in this country, on top of the fact it was gun violence, on top of the fact that there was a shooting in Denver yesterday that put three people in the hospital. All we can do is have the conversations at this point. I mean, I'm waiting for our lawmakers to do something, but I want to start with two things. I want to start with a tweet from a gentleman. I don't think I know them, but Xander Moritz, who said, and I think this is important because I think this is what you, Todd, you and I are doing, Todd, right now, which is looking at both sides of the truth, which is nuance. I think that's an important discussion point, is nuance. He says, we can handle nuance. We can agree that Charlie Kirk's rhetoric and actions have caused death and that murder is wrong. We can agree that the Second Amendment matters and that we need safe gun laws. Celebrating Charlie Kirk's death will further his harm. And I think that's important. I don't think we gain anything by making it seem, as you put it with Kristen's post, dancing on his grave solves nothing. And Cassandra on the live stream also said something that's been in my brain as well. As my husband said, we may not agree with him, but the biggest fear I have is that there will be retribution from, quote, the other side. And you kind of said it yourself, Todd, was that these two individuals who were taken into custody and had nothing to do with it are now being targeted by the others. And that's wrong as well.
No, 100%. And I think anyone who is celebrating Charlie Kirk's death today just needs to take a long look in the mirror at themselves. And it's certainly not helpful politically. It's certainly not helpful safety-wise for any of us, regardless of how I felt about Charlie Kirk, which is not someone I agreed with at all. Our founders did not set up this country to solve our differences with guns or any other sort of violence. It was set up to solve our differences at the ballot box. And so, again, I completely denounce his killing, and there should not be certainly not be retribution killings. Here's a couple of quick things. A, people who are on social media, be really careful. There's a lot of Russian bots, as they say, or people, Chinese, people from outside the country who are infiltrating social media and exaggerating on both the left and the right and putting lies out there to pit us against ourselves so that we implode upon each other. Quick example, Laura Loomer, confidant of Donald Trump, a big MAGA person. There was something going around. I took screenshots of it here. And I'm like, did she really say that? So I went to her Twitter feed and scrolled through. She said about two sentences of what actually got posted under something that looked exactly like her real Twitter feed.
Yeah.
And so it exaggerated and made it look even worse to make it think it pits us against ourselves.
Yeah.
So be very cautious of things being posted on your Facebook or Twitter or whatever feed that's out there. Number two, I don't know, Greg, did you experience this or Kelvin? I was, all right, you guys were smart. I kept looking at everything last night.
Yeah.
I was astounded at how many people I have on my personal Facebook page. They're kind of like, quote unquote, Facebook friends. Like, okay, I knew them in high school or I knew them from my community, but we don't hang out a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm astounded how many people that you would say that I know folks. I mean, that you would say, yeah, they're good people, and they are. But they're reposting and putting things out there that Charlie Kirk was a saint, and it's so connected to this, in my opinion, skewed version of Christianity.
Yes,
and I just think it's so sad that all of our great institutions of faith, whether they're mosques or temples or churches or synagogues, to do all kinds of great work, communities of faith in this state. But that is being bastardized by a political party who's using that to advance an agenda. And I'm just, it impacted me of how deep this is. And people that we're talking to, there is a very, to use the word, nuanced view of an intersection of perceived Christianity in politics. And boy, I think that's a, as someone once said, a tough nut to crack.
And, I'm going to use this moment to plug the show from yesterday. We spoke with Andrew Watkins, who's a survivor of a Christian nationalist community. And I'm not going to put those people that you saw into the realm of Christian nationalism. But what I'm going to say is that she speaks on the fact that, yes, the religion of Christianity has been perverted over many, many decades and centuries, especially in the last five decades. And the teachings of Jesus have been almost abandoned. From love thy neighbor and treat all with kindness and inclusion and respect and caring and service to I am saved, you are not, you're going to hell, I am not. And while we're at it, let's take away women's rights to vote because they don't need it. But that's something we talk about. And it's like, yeah, it's that version of the religion that fits for you. And then you put it out there.
As someone who is a very, very imperfect person of faith on the Christian side, I'll leave it with a partial Bible verse, which is never grow weary of doing good, and I think that hopefully that everybody can be reminded of that today. Do some good, and because I think we've at least I feel sometimes very unempowered, and so do some good. It'll make you feel better.
Todd, I appreciate you, and you do good by doing it every day here on the network. 2 to 4 p.m., the Todd Alba Show, talking to the people. I appreciate your time as always, and I'll talk to you sooner than later, friend.
Appreciate you, friend. Take care, bye.
When we come back after the news, we have Jim Santel breaking down all the news from the world of law. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
CBS News Special Report. The shooter who assassinated conservative activist Charlie Kirk is still at large. The FBI has released new photos of the person of interest. Utah Department of Public Health Commissioner Bo Mason.
We want to make sure that they get as much attention as possible so that we can get help from the public in tracking down this evil human being.
Utah Governor Spencer Cox said,
this is not just a local matter here in Utah. We have people all over the country that are helping to bring this perpetrator to justice for Charlie Kirk and his family.
Vice President J.D. Vance arranged for Kirk's body to be flown home to Arizona aboard Air Force Two. CBS's Weijia Zhang reports on the political reaction to Kirk's death.
Law enforcement officers responded to a bomb threat at DNC headquarters in Washington, D.C. that turned out not to be credible. Still, political leaders are on heightened alert, with lawmakers in both parties canceling upcoming events.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Brewers head for home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers returning from their road trip to begin a three-game series tomorrow night against the Cardinals at American Family Field. The crew losing again 6-3. The Rangers' Jake Berger hit two home runs. Pat Murphy.
They got every big hit. You know, Berger was in AAA earlier in the season, and he hits two big homers. You know, we get 11 hits. We don't get the timely two-out hit.
NFL, the Packers host the Washington Commanders tonight, led by Dan Quinn, who was once the head coach of the Falcons, where Matt LaFleur was the quarterback's coach. LaFleur on his time there in Atlanta under Quinn.
It was invaluable to me. Like, I'm pretty certain I wouldn't be standing right here right now if it weren't for being with DQ for those 2 years in Atlanta. And just changed my whole mindset and how much fun you can have within the building yet still get down to business. It was a great environment.
That's Matt LaFleur. I'll have a full recap later tonight after the game from Lambeau Field with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Daniel Day-Lewis says he would have kept his mouth shut instead of announcing in 2017 that he was retiring from the movie business. During an interview with Rolling Stone, Day-Lewis dismissed his 2017 announcement. The three-time Oscar winner said about his retirement that it just seems like such grandiose gibberish. Day-Lewis added that he never intended to hang it up for good and says he just wanted to focus on other work at the time. His three Best Actor awards for the films There Will Be Blood, My Left Foot, and Lincoln are a record for a male actor. The 68-year-old Lewis said he never stopped loving the actual work, just guessing that The Irishman would be a real challenge to direct, even if you're his son Ronan, who is responsible for convincing dear old dad out of retirement so he could appear in his film Anemone, a story that explores the complexity of relationships between fathers and sons. Daniel also wrote the script with Ronan. You can check out the work of this father-son duo very soon. Anemone will be released October 10th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly to mostly cloudy in the overnight, some patchy fog forming. Light winds and morning lows in the lower 50s. On Friday, fog in the morning will give way to a partly sunny sky. Southeast winds, highs in the upper 70s, close to 80 degrees. It's 57 at our studios.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This week, we sit down with Republican Party of Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District Chairman, Ken Sikora.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently out, but will be back sooner than you know it. And we are here today with a very, very good show because we're talking to friends and we're having conversations. I'm joined, of course, by Calvin Butenhoff on the boards. And we're just talking about the events of yesterday in Utah, the horrific act of political violence that claimed the life of Charlie Kirk, who was the founder of Turning Points USA, a political firebrand, a right-wing commentator, an agitator for some. And we're talking about basically the what this has left for people behind, as far as, for me personally, the feelings I have regarding my profession, regarding my personal life, regarding everything. And I think it's important to have these discussions, I think, because we are all Americans. And we are constantly being hit with these acts of violence, whether they're political or in schools or in shopping malls or in movie theaters. But it's something we keep talking about. And unfortunately, for my next guest, who is the host of Amicus, a law review, former U.S. attorney. Amicus, by the way, is on every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Unfortunately for Jim, he can't make me in charge. Even though he's an attorney, he can't make me in charge. He can't put like a sword on my shoulder and say, Greg, you're in charge. Go fix everything. It would take me a little bit. I would do it. It'd be fun. But Jim, thank you so much for being here. You're always here at 9:35 on Thursdays to talk about the pressing matters coming out of the world of law. Talk about the Supreme Court. We talk about, you know, these cases to keep your eyes on. And we'll get to one or two in a little bit. But what I wanted to start off with was reviving a conversation that you and I had, I think about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yes.
When we were talking about gun violence again.
Right.
And one of, I'm on social media. I see the videos all the time. You can't have any sort of gun reform at all that anything impinges on my Second Amendment. You can't introduce, you can't ban a bump stock. You can't ban a weapon. You can't put in a regulation. You can't authorize training. You can't certification. Nothing. I should be able to walk in anywhere, buy a gun today, take it anywhere I want, hold it on my hip anywhere I'd like. That's it. Because anything less would be an absolute infraction upon my constitutional rights. Now, I dramatized that entire telling right there, but we all know people online who do this. You have a different point of view, and that is that we can have sensible gun regulations which do not harm our constitutional rights.
That's exactly right. And like you, and like, frankly, all of your listeners, I'm outraged by those people who say that I have an absolute, absolute right under the Constitution. Greg, as you and I have also observed routinely, there is no right in America. There is no constitutional right that is unconditional. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. Give me the right, I can tell you what the restriction is on it. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we live in a society of people. We live in communities where we not only care about each other, but we're concerned about each other's safety and security. So let's pull back a little bit upon that basically unfounded notion that there is a basically uncontrolled right for guns. As late as 17 years ago, 2008, the Second Amendment was not interpreted in that way. And in that year, there was a decision by the Supreme Court at the pen of a fellow that we talk about a lot. His name is Antonin Scalia. And he said in a case called Heller versus District of Columbia, mm-hmm. for the first time in our nation's history, that you have a right in your home to possess a handgun for self-defensive purposes, and went back and basically invested in the Constitution for the first time the notion that there is a constitutional right to gun ownership and use. That was a dramatic change from the past. Just a couple of years ago, that was reaffirmed, a case called Bruin 2023, and it broadened the applicability of that onto the streets. and said, yes, you've also got a right to carry those weapons. Now, what's the point that we're both of you and I are making? In both of those cases, including from the pen of Antonin Scalia, what he also said in a major paragraph inside Heller, adopted again by the Chief Justice and people like Brett Kavanaugh, nothing about that, those cases, establishes an unconditional right. And indeed, government, in the exercise of its proper duties to keep us safe and secure, can place all kinds of, yes, I'll use all the words, restrictions, conditions, limitations on the manufacture, the transfer, the use, the ownership, the possession, the sale of firearms. And that's what enables Congress and state legislatures around the country to impose those kinds of regulations. And to get to the other point, which I know we want to chat about today, and that is that there are things, and you and I talked about this 2 weeks ago, inside that known constitutional rubric, there are things that we can do that will affect the gun violence challenge, the healthcare challenge that we have in this nation. They're easy to know. We know what they are. They're bringing out together the gun show loophole, universal background checks, safe gun storage, extreme risk protection orders, assault weapons bans. I can go on. We know that these things work. And that's the point, right, Greg? We've talked about this a lot. We know they work because in those states that have implemented these things constitutionally, according to what Antonin Scalia has told them they can do, what happens there? The rates of gun violence, including mass shootings, there have been 309 mass shootings in America since January 1 of this year alone. Mass shootings and other instances of gun violence dropped dramatically. We know in the 1990s that when we had a 10-year assault weapons ban passed by the Congress, what happened? Again, gun violence rates plummeted in this country. It sunsetted. It wasn't renewed by the Congress. And what happens? We go in the opposite direction again. The point is, we know it works. We don't have to go back and do more research. With all due respect to the First Amendment, we don't need more national conversation about this. We know what works. Do it. Make those changes. And the final point I'll make before I jump on my soapbox is this. 418 days from today, we go to the polls, and we elect 435 members of the House of Representatives, and we elect 33 members of the United States Senate. If you are serious about responding to the horror, the absolute meltdown tragedy of what happened in Utah Valley University and at Evergreen High School yesterday, and in all those other places in America, absolute tragic of the profound nature. If you're concerned about that, you elect people in 418 days, not single issue voters, but reasonable, rational people who will take Antonin Scalia at his word and say, we know what we can do. We're going to change America, and we're not going to eliminate all violence, but we're going to make a big, big effort, and we're going to accomplish something. And so in 478 days from now, when that 120th Congress of the United States takes the oath of office as the next Congress of this nation, they can introduce language, they can introduce legislation, the House and the Senate, that implement at a federal level, just like those many states, not here in Wisconsin, but in other states around the country that have done these things. And you will see, not the next day, but over time, a dramatic reduction in the kinds of horrors that we saw again yesterday. And Americans need to understand the timing on this, the capacity that they have to make the change. That's what you can do, and that's what you can do under the Constitution of the United States of America. Our representatives, as you just said in the prior segment, have got to be compelled to make these changes for the betterment of all of us. And in memory of, yes, the Charlie Kirks and all the other people who have perished as a result of gun violence in America.
Well, I think the show is done now, Calvin. We can go home. Jim has said everything he needs to say. We're just going to pack it up and go to McDonald's, I guess. Happy meals on me. Yeah, if you're just joining us right now, Matt and Aaron on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking to Jim Santel. He's the host of Amicus, a law review, which is on every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Don't catch it live. Can't catch it live. Listen to the playback on the website, civicmedia.us/shows, or download it as a podcast. It's an amazing, amazing show. I love listening to it. Jim, a couple of things I want to say about that. all of those points. Yes. First of all, yes, thank you for bringing up the fact that in this country, what happened in Utah was a tragedy. Yet that same day, another shooting happened in Denver, sending three people to the hospital, and no one was talking. I shouldn't say no one. I take that back. Not no one, but it wasn't a news story on the major news networks because it's not about the tragedy. It's about what's the ratings, who's going to be watching, and that's an unfortunate piece of the puzzle. Second of all, when you talk about this, about the Second Amendment, talking about implementation of gun laws, two things come to mind. First of all, we have the ability to change. Another word for change, yes. Jim, is amend. Amendment means we can change the Constitution, yes. because the founders also never meant for that document to be immutable. And finally, when we're talking about Antonin Scalia, we're not talking about some hippy-dippy liberal who believes the Constitution's a living, breathing, evolving document. He was the originalist's originalist. And as someone who believes the text is applicable to how it was in the time it was ratified, the fact that he can have such open-minded ideas on what we can do with gun restriction, gun laws, and gun safety measures says a lot to me personally, that he was such a staunch originalist, but yet on this matter, he said, no, the Constitution does not mean everyone gets a gun.
Right, right. Antonin Scalia, for what it's worth, this is going to date me, was my professor at the University of Chicago Law School before he became a member of the Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia, before Ronald Reagan placed him on the Supreme Court. And I saw then, again, at the very start of my legal career, and we saw throughout his career that this was a man who, again, you can disagree with him, but he was an academic. Mm-hmm. And again, even the Heller decision, an awful lot of criticism. Maybe he gets the history wrong. There are an awful lot of people who say that he has done that. The Supreme Court has relied a lot upon history, as we know well, to justify things of all kinds in its jurisprudence. But the reality is just that. Look at Heller and find that paragraph that begins, "Nothing about our opinion." And then he goes on to say, "Nothing about our opinion should prevent any of the traditional, longstanding government impositions of conditions on all of these things." And he gives you a list, but it's plainly just an illustration, if you will, the kinds of things, and makes it very clear that restrictions can be imposed. And that's what we can do tomorrow, Greg, mm-hmm. if we want to do it. Nothing unconstitutional, nothing illegal about it. It is a matter for legislative action. Get those people in Congress and in other state houses, including right here in Wisconsin, to act in a way that's legal and lawful and make us more safe and secure virtually, maybe not right overnight, but in a short period of time.
How many days did you say until election next year? 400 and
it's 418 until November 3rd of 2026.
And just as a reminder, we're not just voting for our federal government. We're voting for our state government, too. And you can find out more by going to myvote.wi.gov. And we have Jim Santel sticking with us while we go grab some snacks and get some water. But the live stream's loving what they're hearing, Jim. Jess, Jim, you know what works. Do it. And Cassandra says, Jim is fired up today. I'm loving it. And Tom says, the great Jim Santel. So we're going to keep the conversation with the great Jim Santel going. So don't go anywhere. Grab a snack. Get some hydration. Head on back. Stay tuned. Stay close. We're going to keep talking about gun measures, gun safety, and how it does not infringe upon our Second Amendment rights of the Constitution. Keep talking about this, but we got to keep talking about it. We're going to keep talking about it on Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
Are you looking for ways to give back to your local community? Use volunteerwisconsin.org to find opportunities to volunteer your time with organizations making a difference near you. As we celebrate United Ways Month, we're also celebrating you. Visit volunteerwisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center to find out more about local opportunities to get involved. volunteerwisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin, paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who's currently on vacation and will be back before you know it. We have Sweet Cal B on the boards today, and if you want to get in touch with us, you can call or text. The number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. After the top of the hour news break coming up in the second hour at 10:06, we're going to be welcoming Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, to the show. We're going to be recombobulating the news, furthering this discussion, but also talking about some state news that came out regarding the gubernatorial race next year, which is, as you said, Jim, 417 days away?
418, but who's counting? Apparently we are, right?
You are, apparently, my gosh. Right, I'm just trying to count the Brewers' magic number. That's all I care about numbers right now. But we're talking to our friend Jim Santella, who's the host of Amicus, a law review, which is on every Saturday at 9 a.m. And if you can't catch it live, you can always listen to the replay by going to civicmedia.us/shows. I would really encourage you to do so. It's not only great catch-up for what's going on in this week in law, but it's also... Jim breaks down these stories well and really brings the law into focus and allows people like me to understand what's ever going on. So, Amicus, a law review, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. every single Saturday here on Civic Media. We were talking about the terrible shooting that claimed the life of Charlie Kirk yesterday in Utah. also, you know, really bringing into in the conversation, and I should have brought this up, but I didn't. The fact that, you know, political violence in this country isn't a new thing by any stretch since our inception, but not even new, or not even it's been happening more and more just in recent years. And I saw someone post, and I can't find it now, but post just all of the threats, acts of physical violence against politicians. And it goes in the same line, Jim, as, you know, when shootings happen, we say, this is a tragedy. And then we move on. We don't do anything. And I think to what your point was earlier is that while we can sit here and have these conversations and we can agree, because as the polling always shows, America agrees that sensible gun laws are not only important, but constitutional.
Right.
It's our leaders who are either afraid, unaware, or incapable, and or just don't even want to do it. Because honestly, like, the gun lobby is strong and they can be bought.
Right. And I often think about this question, which again, Greg, you and I have pondered here on air and off. When that day comes, when we are speaking to our children and our grandchildren, and maybe even our great-grandchildren, and they say, gee, what was going on, great-grandpa, great-grandma, way back in 2021, 2022, even before that, of course, 2025, I'm reading about this fellow named Charlie Kirk who was assassinated in public as he was about to speak at a university. You knew what the remedies for all of this were. Why didn't you do something way back then? I think about the legacy of the failure to act today and how history will record, and I'll include all of us together, because if we're not once again electing people to Congress who will take action on this, we are also maybe not complicit in the literal sense of that word, but supporting this when we are compelled by the people who follow us, the generations to come, asked about why it is we didn't stop this madness. I'll also call it a healthcare crisis.
Yes.
People are dying. People are in the hospital this morning in Evergreen High School and the Evergreen area and other places around the country. It is a healthcare crisis. The question will come, why didn't you do something? You knew it would work. You knew you had test cases where it did work, and you failed to act. Explain that to me. And I would offer to all Americans that there is no compelling answer to that question other than the fact that we failed. We failed now, and perhaps we're going to fail future generations. That's the argument that you make to all those people who are going back to Congress, who are going to our state house in Madison in the coming year.
And that just pushes for me the notion. Well, actually, going back to your scenario, first of all, I'll be great-great Uncle Greg. That'll be
great
growth. And I will be very, very grizzled on the front porch with my cane yelling at all the kids with their rock and roll music. But when they say about Charlie Kirk, I'll say, well, ask me about Representative Hortman in Minnesota.
Right.
Ask me about Paul Pelosi. Ask me about the attempted kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer. Ask me about the shooting of Gabby Giffords in a parking lot. We had it over and over and over again, and we did nothing. And that is on the heads of our leaders. And that is why we push the power of the voice at the ballot. And that is why you need to go to myvote.wi.gov. Look at who represents you. Tell them what you want. And if you don't like what they're doing, well, we have 418 days to find new representatives and vote them in and see if they can make a difference. Because the difference is made by us at the ballot box. As Todd said, that's how we fight our battles.
Right. And to your very good point about political violence, it does absolutely nothing today, tomorrow, or any time to compare instances of political violence. We've all got the list. It goes in all directions and all variations. All anybody needs to do is to condemn every single act, regardless of where it happened, who are the victims of it. It is all condemnable. It is all contrary to the very fabric of our nation. Condemn it all and say it cannot continue, and then work to remedy it. The discussions today, which are out there to some extent, comparing one to another, saying, yes, what about this?
Mm-hmm.
Shame on you. Shame on you. That is not what this discussion is about. Condemn it all. And bemoan the fact that we still have a nation of gun violence that takes all of these lives, injures all these people, when we know what we can do to remedy the problem.
Thank you, my friend, for being here. I always appreciate your time and your expertise, and I look forward to hearing this weekend's new episode of Amicus, a Law Review, which is available 9 a.m. every Saturday on Civic Media, or you can download it at civicmedia.us/shows if you want to catch up. Jim, it's always great to have you here. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
It's good to be with you.
All right, when we come back after the news, political editor for Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here to break down the news. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Utah Governor Spencer Cox pleads for the public's help as officials try to find the person of interest in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk on a college campus yesterday. And he also says,
we've been working with our attorneys, getting everything that we need, affidavits ready, so that we can pursue the death penalty in this case.
Officials have released new video and still photos showing the person making a getaway by jumping off of a building and running off. CBS's Scott McFarland says the FBI,
they now have a $100,000 reward. They have the firearm. They say this gunman dumped in the woods as he was jumping off a roof, running through woods, then running through a neighborhood outside the campus.